Welcome to a bonus episode of Cinema Crespediso. It is me, Christopher Crespo, just chilling here with Drewster Cogburn. Drew, how's it going?
It's going, man.
Right on.
I'm recording some bonus material here for all of our faithful listeners.
Bonus material for the people because it's the middle of the week and you're bored and we're bored. So enjoy this. Help get you to your weekend even quicker. Unless you listen to your podcast whenever the hell you want, in which case, enjoy the day that it is on which you are listening to this. In the future.
Yes.
Whatever that is. We usually do one episode a week. Release every Monday. We released a couple days ago, episode 33, with Angel Rivera. That was good times.
That was a lot of fun.
The first rematch of Drewster Cogburn.
And I got stomped.
Drew got, yeah, he did.
It does not bode well for the future.
Did not. Yeah, you kind of have to pick it up, buddy. We got some guests lined up for you for our regular episodes for the next few weeks. So these are all scores that are going to count.
Yeah,
we got to figure something out, like the overall record, whether you're over 500, under 500, you're going to win something, lose something. Something's got to happen.
Something does have to happen.
Something's got to happen. But the reason for this episode, in case you can't tell by the show title, is this is your how-to guide, how to use the Rotten Tomatoes.
Properly. Not just because, I mean, a lot of people use Rotten Tomatoes.
People use it all the time.
That doesn't mean they're using it correctly.
People need to know how to use it properly. Thank you, Drew. How to use Rotten Tomatoes properly. This is your Cinema Crispy So Friendly how-to guide. Now, you're probably thinking to yourself, what are you talking about? I know Rotten Tomatoes. It tells me a movie's at 70%, so it's fresh, it's good, it's 70%, I should go see it. If it's 90%, it's great. If it's 20%, it sucks, blah, blah, blah. It seems pretty simple. Those general terms, yes, Rotten Tomatoes is a very resourceful tool. It's impressive what they do. They aggregate a bunch of critics and their reviews, and they let you know whether a movie is generally received well or poorly or somewhere in the middle, right? Although, really, they don't, because it's either... Might as well just start jumping into the problems with Rotten Tomatoes. It's either rotten or fresh. There's no middle ground. If it's 60% or higher, it's fresh. If it's 59% or lower, it's rotten. When was the last time, Drew, you had some fruit that totally skipped the ripe stage?
It's fresh,
and then all of a sudden, boom, it's just rotten.
Yeah, I know. I don't think it not. And I've worked in food industry for about a decade now.
There's a middle ground there.
Yeah. There's a couple days where it's like, oh, this is absolutely perfect.
It's perfect. It's right in the middle. But that doesn't really translate to what we're going for when it comes to a movie. Because if a movie is ranked around in the 50s or 60s, should that be necessarily called fresh or rotten? Wouldn't that be sort of ripe?
Yeah. I guess, kind of.
But you don't want to say that.
But that would be the peak of season, though.
The sweet spot, though.
Because that would be the sweet spot if we're talking about it in food standpoints.
So it's a little tricky. They may want to need some slack there. What do you need? Need some volume? Need some balance? We got you. All right. So we got to... There has to be some middle ground there, but there is none. So it's either fresh or rotten.
Yes.
All right. But, man, even then, those scores can be so misleading, because first off, just because the movie is rated super high, like 90 in the 90s, 95%, something like that,
yes,
people see that and they think this movie is going to be phenomenal. Like,
well, no,
it's going to blow them away. It's going to be the greatest movie ever, like Godfather 2. Great.
No, that is wrong.
That's not necessarily true.
That is wrong. It just means that 95% of the people said that it was good enough to see. They didn't necessarily say it was the best thing they'd ever seen.
That's right. That's right.
They just said it was good enough to see.
For example, Men in Black has a rating of 91%.
Yes.
Which is, wow, that's awesome, the 91%.
Yes.
However, if you look on any movie, underneath the tomato score, there's an average rating. And that's from the actual reviews that have ratings on them on a scale of 1 to 10. And those average ratings will give you more of an idea of what critics really think of a movie. So Men in Black had 91% fresh rating. But when he looked at the average rating, it was like 7.1 out of 10, something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I mean, like, I'm looking at The World's End right now that we just saw.
Right.
The tomato meter says 91%.
91% fresh.
Certified fresh. audience is 80% like.
We'll talk about the audience stuff later. Yeah. User review.
But
later.
Then yeah, the average rating is 7.5 out of 10.
7.5 out of 10, which I would agree with that. I found it somewhere around 7.5 out of 10, 8 out of 10, around that area. But people see 91%, or 92%,
and they're like, "Wow!"
They see that as like a 9 out of 10.
Yeah,
that's what they're thinking. The average rating is it's a 9 out of 10 movie,
correct.
And it's not. It's a Rotten Tomatoes says it's a 7.5 out of 10 movie. Just 90% of the reviews.
It's just 149 had quote unquote fresh reviews.
So,
and there were only 15 quote unquote rotten reviews.
Right. So let's play a quick like hypothetical reel here.
Okay.
We re-released a movie.
Yes.
And it comes out and
Mogwai. We released Mogwai
at a great fanfare, and there's 100 reviews.
Yes.
99 of those reviews, none of them love it. They all like it. They all say it's this movie's okay.
Yeah.
It has things I like about it, things I don't like about it, but overall, I think it's okay. It's worth like a matinee, something like that. It's kind of a middling yet positive review.
Yes.
99 out of 100 are those.
Yes.
And then that one other review was like, I really didn't like it.
We got 99%.
We got 99% on Rotten Tomatoes. Mm-hmm. Our movie's scored at 99%. Now, if you check the user rating, it'll probably be somewhere around 5 out of 10, somewhere in the middle, maybe 4.9 out of 10, something like that. And that's possible because we're talking about that's the average of positive versus negative versus the average score of each review. And those are two totally, totally different things. So just look at it very simplistically and be like, oh, if it's in the 90%, people must love it. Or why is this movie rated at 90-something percent, but this one, which is perceived as better, why does that have a lower, quote, tomato meter reading?
Correct.
People gotta think about that stuff. And then here's another thing. A lot of these movies, they have reviews like up to 150, maybe 200 reviews compiled from. And the way Rotten Tomatoes gets their critics, a lot of them are part of film societies, they're on online publications or print publications that have since moved online, stuff like that. So, think a lot of your newspaper film critics, website film critics, all those people. But this is the internet. So many people have their own websites for their own stupid opinions, and everyone thinks they're fucking special. Go to chriscrespo.com. And it's, not every opinion is equal. They're not all. Not every opinion is valid, let alone equal. They're not all weighed the same. So when you're looking at a Rotten Tomato score, a meter reading, all those reviews are weighed the same. So we're talking about, Roger Ebert, he just passed recently, but we're talking about his reviews, and that rating were being held the same weight as some schmuck who, he works for, movienewsandreviews.com, and he just,
like us.
And he just started a couple years ago, and,
Or like us.
I already pointed that out. Now you're just killing it, beating a dead horse. Yeah. Now you just killed a dead horse.
Awesome. Killed it again. It's dead twice.
Double kill. So there's a trick to weed out all the spam. There's a double trick. A very easy one.
Okay.
Is you got a movie there, right? What, you just have the world's end there?
Yes.
Oh, Drew.
Seriously, bro.
Just because of the bonus episode, doesn't mean you get away from Drew Sakagwin versus the world.
Seriously. I hate you. I hate you so much. This is freaking retarded.
We'll come back to the I'm gonna reveal the whole how to weed out the riffraff on the ratings. But before we do that, got a little Juicy Cogburn and sparring round action. Because you lost, buddy. You need the workout, alright? I'm like Mickey. You can't be abiding by these losses. You wanna be a bum in the gym, then I'm gonna push you even harder. Because one day you gotta go up against the Apollo Creed of trivia, movie trivia. I don't know who that is yet.
I say who is the Apollo Creed of movie trivia, Chris?
The Beast, maybe? That guy?
Yeah, I'm going to lose.
We'll get you there, though. We'll get you there. Since we're doing a Rotten Tomato-centered episode, this is just about Rotten Tomato scores. The tomato meter. Just a basic...
Yes, the tomato meter.
Tomato meter. I'm going to give you two movies. You tell me which one scored higher. Okay. Which one had more higher percentage of positive reviews. Here we go. Number one. Shaun of the Dead or Dawn of the Dead? The remake, the Zack Snyder one.
Dawn of the Dead.
Dawn of the Dead had a 75% tomato meter, whereas Shaun of the Dead had a 91% tomato meter. Yes.
Wow.
Fun fact, Edgar Wright, I tried to do Shaun of the Dead versus Hot Fuzz.
Uh-huh.
They both have a 91% rating. which also, as does...
Trick question!
As the, yeah, exactly. It would have been a trick question. And so does The World's End.
Nice.
All have the same rating. Number two, which had a higher rating, The Smurfs or Garfield the Movie? Which had a higher rating?
Garfield.
Garfield had a 15% favorable rating, whereas The Smurfs had a 22%. 22% of those reviews were positive. So, that's wrong. Number three, which had a higher rating, Toy Story 2 or Toy Story 3?
Toy Story 2.
Toy Story 2 had a tomatometer of 100%, and Toy Story 3 had a tomatometer of 99%. So, Toy Story 2 is correct. There you go. We got one. We can still turn this one around, Drew. We can do this. Ready? Which had a higher rating? Fast 5 or Fast Times at Ridgemont High? Both fast.
Fast 5
had a tomatometer of 77%. Pretty high for an action movie of that type. Fast Times at Ridgemont High has a tomato meter of 80%. Ooh, that's so you got that one wrong. And finally, number 5, a couple of war movies which had a higher rating, Full Metal Jacket or The Hurt Locker?
Full Metal Jacket.
Full Metal Jacket had a tomato meter reading of 94%. The Hurt Locker had a tomato meter reading of 97%. So you were one right out of 5 on that one.
All right, okay. So back to the Rotten Tomatoes.
We're going to do some laps or with some push-ups or something.
Certified rotten over here today.
Certified rotten. So you have your tomato meter reading, and the ones we were just doing were the overall rating with all
correct
reviews weighted equally, no matter who the person is. Rotten Tomatoes did do us the service of splitting that up into some of the top critics. I don't know how they picked their top critics, but they have a list of them. If you look next to the rating, very small, it says top critics. Mm-hmm. If you click on that, watch your rating go up or down.
Correct.
So what do you have, The World's End there?
Yes, it went down.
It went down.
From 91 to 87.
To 87.
And from an average rating of 7.5 to an average rating of 7.4.
So the average rating really didn't change.
Not really.
It's still pretty much rated the same way. It's just...
The percentage changed.
Percentage went down. There's a smaller pool, so the percentages are going to shift more wildly, you know, as you add reviews to them or whatnot. You know,
I understand how percentages work.
I know that you do, but there's a lot of people listening right now, and some of them aren't mazwizzes like
some,
we are.
And some people can't speak either.
And some people can't speak either. Maybe if I drink some more beer.
Yeah, that'll probably help with your speech impediment there, buddy.
I did do a lot of cheering last night for the Ghost City.
Ghost City. Hashtag Ghost City.
Hashtag Ghost City. So... The top critic, that narrows it down to, like, usually about 30 critics. That's where, like, Roger Ebert, his reviews were. And whoever now writes for RogerEbert.com, like Matt Solder, Zeitz, and guys like that, they pop up on that little list. So that'll give you a better idea of a truer idea of a movie's critical reception. All right. But that being said, I still say that you have to, if you really want to, like, know what critics think about it without, like, just listening to everyone at the same time, you have to pick your 4, 5, 6 people and just read those people, see what those people think. And the important thing is to pick people that whose opinions you trust and you respect their writing and you respect their reviews, but it doesn't matter whether you agree with them or not, all right? Like, I would hope people would read my stuff, and whether or not they agree or disagree with what I write, they still get some value out of it.
Yeah.
You know, just maybe see a different point of view. So what if you liked the movie and I didn't? Here's why I didn't like it. Maybe some things will make sense to you. Maybe they won't. They can always foster a discussion, shit like that, you know. The best discussions we've had on our show is when we have different opinions on movies.
Yeah.
You know?
Definitely.
You want to hear two guys agreeing? That's pretty boring.
Yeah, pretty much.
Pretty boring show.
So yeah, that was awesome. You're right. That was awesome.
That was great. Yeah, we agree.
Yeah, you're right. That was great.
What else did you think was great? Oh, I thought that was great too.
Yeah, that was fantastic.
So it's definitely good to have people where you value their opinion, even when their opinion is different than yours.
Yes.
And you actually get something out of it. So I do have my own little short list. I have my reading list.
Okay.
That I thought I would go ahead and let people... I'm going to let people in on my reading list.
Oh, man.
This is kind of a big deal. I do. So here we go. On the actual top critics I always check out Michael Phillips. He writes for the Chicago Tribune. Smart guy. He actually tends to dislike more movies than I do, but he's a smart guy, and you know, I definitely appreciate what he writes. New York Times has both A.O. Scott. I think it's Andrew O. Scott, maybe. A.O. Scott. He's all about initials. And Manola Dargis. She's a great writer. The thing with New York Times, they have a few critics still on staff, one of the few papers that do, and they'll send people to see a whole bunch of different movies, so it's rare when they both see the same movie. So sometimes you get reviews for A.O. Scott, and sometimes you get some for Noah Dargis, but both great stuff. Andrew O'Hare writes for Salon.com, old Salon, very smart dude. And always very interesting stuff. I like what he does. And then off of Rotten Tomatoes, there's a few more that I check out. OutlawVern.com. This dude, Vern. Drew, you've seen my book, Seagology, The Study of the Ass-Kicking Films of Steven Seagal.
Correct.
This dude's like one of the original rogue internet film critics from like, he started a decade ago or whatever. Still plugging it away. I go to him for like action stuff, direct video stuff. You know, a lot of genre stuff. Certain genres he really keys in on, like film noir and anything Steven Seagal related. The guy literally wrote the book on Seagology. So, literally.
Yeah.
So anything
Seagal. Literally written by him.
He's the leading Seagologist in the world. So I consider myself a Seagologist of sorts.
Are you? Are you officially a Seagologist?
I don't know how they officially... I might have to try to contact the student and find out how that works. I want to be an official Seagologist. Anyway. And I also like to go to Chud.com, Cinematic Happenings Under Development, Chud.com. There's a couple of dudes there. Ren Brown, Nick Nunziata, who runs a site. I like to read what they think of sometimes, and it's good stuff over there. And then at Movie City News, there's this dude, David Poland, who does more box office analysis and business stuff. He used to write a lot more reviews, and now these days on his blog, he only reviews a couple of things here and there. But still, I appreciate... his angle and the way he sees movies, and more often than not, if he really likes a movie, I'm not gonna like it, and if he does, I feel like he does dislikes a movie, then I really like it. We have kind of, it's weird, we have pretty differing tastes, but I still really like reading his stuff. So those are some people you can check out. Also, of course, chriscrespo.com. So you know. And that leads to the whole idea of, like we were saying, all opinions aren't equal, and all opinions aren't necessarily valid. I mean, there's this whole thing about how, you know, you're entitled to your opinion, and we should be able to, and I truly do believe that we should be able to discuss anything, whether it's movies, art, you know, television, music, or, you know, politics, religion, which obviously is never going to happen, but we should be able to discuss all these things rationally and logically, and without letting emotions take over, because we have different opinions, and we're all guilty of it. If I really like a movie and a lot of other people don't like the movie, now I feel like, well, is my opinion invalidated because so many other people are against it? You know, people don't want to feel like their opinions don't matter or they don't count, and that's definitely a reason why. If you hear someone like, oh, I think something differently, like, I don't even want to hear that. You know, I'm going to shut down completely, except having an open mind. You know what I mean?
I do know what you mean.
Yeah.
And it's a shame that some people are closed-minded.
It is. Closed-mindedness.
But there's not really anything you can do about that.
There is nothing. Well, is there? There is, though. We can openly talk about it like we're doing right now.
You could voice your opinion, and hopefully somebody finds it a valid enough opinion to take.
But I want to voice my opinion about opinions.
Whoa.
It's an opinionated opinion.
Okay.
On opinions. It's a weird, like, amorphous topic, you know? It's not tangible. We're talking about ideas and thoughts and the way people communicate with each other. And I don't know, man. It's brutal. It's a brutal world. Have you seen, as a matter of fact, click on the reviews. Like, you have the, if you slide down on the movie and on Rotten Tomatoes, you'll see little blurbs of all the reviews. And on some of them, you'll see they say comments. One comment, two comment, eight comments. Do you see any of those?
Not with any comments on them.
Not with comments on them? Because that's a new wonderful thing. Because, you know, everyone's opinions have to be heard now.
So people control the message boards.
People can review the reviewers. They can critique the critics. Who watches The Watchmen, Drew? Now it's getting
that's
ugly.
A good question.
This all came to a nasty tipping point last year. Dark Knight Rises came out, and it took like 50, 60 reviews before someone put one up that wasn't positive, and it killed the 100% rating, knocked down 99%. And the fanboys, Batman fanboys, freaked out because they all got super insecure, and I don't know what they were doing. They were a bunch of baby losers.
They do that from time to time.
So they went to this guy on the Rotten Tomatoes, on the commenting section. They went to that section, and they just filled it with, like, hatred and yeah, railing on this guy because he dared to have an opinion that was different from the rest.
Yeah.
And these are just stupid, fat basement fanboys.
Correct.
That's scary.
Yes.
Imagine what happens when people hear an opinion that's different from theirs on an issue or a topic that actually matters.
It happens every day. Revolutions are caused by that stuff.
Isn't that crazy? And we're just talking about movies, man, and film critics. It's very simple, but it's not. Opinions are like assholes. Everyone's got one, and they stink. Every single one of them. But we all think ours don't stink.
Nope. My opinion is so much better than yours, Chris.
We're still talking about opinions, right?
Yes.
Okay. Just making sure.
My opinion is better than your opinion.
So I'm saying we all got to come together and embrace each other's differing opinions, but also take into account the weight of that opinion.
But what if your opinion's wrong?
That's the thing. People's opinions can be wrong. Millions of people are wrong all the time. Every day, all the time.
I'm wrong at probably 5-10 times a day.
There you go.
At least. I mean, hell, I was just wrong, four times this episode?
Oh, yeah, that's true.
So.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
But that wasn't an opinion. Those are over facts. Factoids. That was trivia. I'm talking about opinions. But opinions, yes, can be wrong. My opinion of this hot food is that it's cold. That doesn't make any sense. That just means you're crazy. That means you have some sort of disease where you can't. You know what I'm trying to get at?
Oh, yeah.
Which brings me to the user ratings.
Okay, user ratings. Okay, that's just that's just anybody.
That is
saying whatever they want about whatever.
Actually, it's not just anybody.
I hate this movie because James McAvoy is in it. And James McAvoy is a douchebag.
Or is icky because I'm a 12-year-old girl or something. And I only like Channing Tatum movies.
Exactly.
That's part of it, absolutely. And another part is that it's a self-selecting pool. People who rate on Rotten Tomatoes and IMDb and all these other sites. They really like these movies, so they go to these sites to rate them highly. People aren't just, I mean, there are people that do this, but on the majority, most people aren't going through Rotten Tomatoes and every movie and be like, oh, I rate this, 7 out of 10. I rate this a 5 out of 10. I rate this a 6
No, they're
out
just
of 10.
Like, oh, that movie was awesome, 9. That movie was awesome, 9. That movie was awesome, 10. That
exactly.
movie was awesome, 9. Everything else, don't care.
Every now and then, I'm like, oh, I remember this one. That one stunk,
yeah.
too. You know, yeah, exactly. It's a self-selecting pool. And that's actually a phrase that's used by the guy who runs Rotten Tomatoes. I read an interview with him last year, and he was talking about using he uses the site himself as a tool, but he doesn't put any stock into the user rating because it's just that. It's people who they're already looking out for this stuff. They want to like it. It comes out. They do like it, and they give it a high rating.
Correct.
Of course, The Avengers is going to have a super high user rating.
Even though it's a god-awful piece of crap.
I don't think it's a god-awful piece of crap. It is not that. It's not very good.
Dude, the more I think about it, the less I like that movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe we should do a bonus episode about that one day. Just about shitting on The Avengers.
It'd be really easy.
That'll get us some nerd friends real quick. We keep calling them nerds, too.
Yeah, whatever.
It doesn't help.
Doesn't matter.
You're a nerd. You're a comic book nerd.
I am. I'm a geek.
I'm a movie nerd.
I'm a comic book geek. It happens.
So, yeah, well, be aware of the user ratings. So to wrap up, let's wrap this up. You want to wrap it up? Let's wrap it up. So
my mom always told me to wrap it up.
Put on your raincoat.
Always.
To wrap it all up, beware the user ratings. It's a self-selecting pool.
Yes. The users are stupid.
The tomato meter reading is useful, but it's not the end all. There's also the actual rating.
Yes.
It's smaller, but it's there.
Which is most important.
And also, check out that top critic review. See, watch those numbers go up and down. Sometimes the swings are huge. And sometimes you'd be surprised. Oh my god, this went up. The top critics like this one more than the overall critical douchebaggery. You know? And finally, speaking of top critics, find your top critics. Find the people you like. And, yeah.
You know, like us.
Like us. Find people like us and other people. Listen to what we got to say. Listen to what other people got to say. And then come up with your own opinion. Because even though we're doing film reviews and we're critiquing stuff and we're saying what we think, you know, oh, you should see this in the movie theater. You should see this on Redbox at home, blah, blah, blah. We're just trying to help. It's all about your review. It's all about your own personal review in the end. When you see the movie, it doesn't matter anymore what other people think. It's all about what you think. And, Just have your reasons. That's all, right?
Correct.
Like it or don't like it because blah. And then stand by your blah.
Even if it's wrong.
Even if it's wrong. Unless you're here's something that compels you to change your blah. And so, always, that's another thing. Always gotta be ready to let your opinion be changed by new information. Right?
Correct.
That's how we grow and evolve.
Yep. New information can change things.
So, there you go. That's how to use Rotten Tomatoes and, you know...
Effectively,
properly. And just a little ranting about opinions in general.
Because that's what we do.
Because that's what we do. That was a hell of a way to kill half an hour.
Yeah, why not?
On a Wednesday or Thursday or Friday or whenever you...
Or whatever day it is.
So, we'll be back with episode 34...
Eventually.
Well, in a few days. A few days after this plops. Like that. Like a wet bag of sand.
In the toilet.
We'll be back with episode 34. Full episode. With... I'm going to go ahead and say who the special guest is right now.
Spoiler alert.
Special guest. Matt Cabinmat.
At gmail.com.
Matt from the SBK Live Show. It'll be our guest. It'll be Drew's next rematch. We're going to be starting to do a lot of rematches now, Drew.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. I can't wait to have them get their revengeance.
Their revengeance.
Angel already had his revengeance.
Yeah, will Matt have his?
Yeah, we'll see.
Episode 34, we'll find out. So thanks a lot for downloading, guys. Remember, we're on iTunes, Stitcher, aircheck.us, and go to chriscrespo.com for stuff. On Twitter, I am at I am Chris Crespo. Drew is...
at Antihero419, same on Instagram.
And the show is on Twitter.com/CrespoDiso, Facebook.com/CinemaCrespoDiso, Instagram.com/CinemaCrespoDiso. All right, we're out.